The Turn of Fate, written by Martin Hicks, narrated by Steve Miller. Prologue. Another larger sea came surging in from the northwest as the CSS Palmetto continued to labor shorewards, battling into the teeth of the wind, but in the process digging her bows deeper into the incoming waves as her damaged forecastle inched ever lower in the water. As he watched the latest dark gray surge break over the bows and commence its rush aft, Thomas Grover, the ship's captain, found the words of the older salts, relics from his youth, coming to mind. Among the many men who had fished or sailed Pamlico Sound in South Carolina for more years than anyone could remember was a conviction that every fourth or fifth wave was the bigger one, though Grover himself had never, in the course of his time at sea, seen any discernible pattern in the sizes of waves. The larger rogue ones came and went, as this one was now doing, but never in a logical order. He gripped the binnacle rail as he watched the dark torrent make its turbulent way aft, sweeping along the flush deck towards him and frothing wildly as it drove into the masts, guns, hatches, and vents in its way. The quarter-deck party braced themselves as the remains of the wave, still considerable for all that much of it had now been sloshed out through the scuppers, reached them, soaking and chilling them anew, pulling madly, though briefly, at them, as it endeavored to carry them overboard with it, before finally sweeping away over the taffrail as yet another, though this time smaller, wave broke white over the prow. The ship's labored weathering of the wind and waves gave ample testimony that the pumps, which continued their unceasing, clanking rhythm below decks, were doing no more than slow the incoming rush of water from the damage that Palmetto had sustained earlier that day in her fight with the two pirate schooners. Grover, having come on deck after checking again on the situation below, now eyed the shore of the island of Palua Brew, lying off to port, as the mist of yet another approaching rain squall slowly engulfed it once more, willing the ship onwards, for only by gaining the sheltered waters and the island's lee, beyond the headland that was at last inching onto the port beam, could she survive. There, Palmetto could be anchored inshore and a patch maneuvered over the damage, buying time for more permanent repairs to be undertaken. Below decks, additional thuds and thumps indicated that the shifting aft of gear continued, in a further effort to offset the effects of the flooding. But Grover knew well enough that while this might be succeeding in adjusting the ship's trim, in order to help her ride the seas better, like the pumping, it could never be enough. The shore was now invisible as the latest squall drew closer, with the wind freshening again in its intensity, increasing the force of the seas that swept down upon the ship, dark gray-green, almost without exception, as they broke over her forecastle and rushed aft in solid tides of water, each of them straining to sweep over the side any who were still on deck. Few remained, however, to run that risk, as Grover had ordered most of the duty watch below, save for the quarter-deck party of helmsmen who were lashed in their places, and the other indispensable members of the watch, the deck officer, the master, and the bosun's mate, all of whom, like Grover himself, clung grimly to the lifelines that crisscrossed the deck, or grasped some other fixture, as the successive seas came surging in. The rain squall, too, now raged over the ship, but the worst of its intensity was short-lived, as off to the northwest the mist began to clear again and the island swam gradually back into view. Closer now, but would they reach its shelter, or would the ship yet lose her battle and founder within sight and reach of comparative safety? He continued to peer through the abating rain towards the land, imagining, as the minutes passed, that the seas were at least moderating as Palmetto floundered towards the sanctuary, or was it the passing of the squall that was having that effect? As the weather eased, he could again hear the pumps, still clanking their steady rhythm as successive shifts of men labored on them. But now, as he gazed shoreward, there was a noticeable difference in the force of the wind and sea, and whether it was a passage of the squall or the increasing shelter afforded by the island, he cared little. He glanced across towards Bernal Pender, the sailing master,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?